still have your Bible open in 1 Thessalonians, that's a good place to be. I want you to make your way, though, to chapter 5, the first passage we'll look at together. While you're taking care of that, let me offer my own words of welcome. It's good to see all of you this morning, especially to our guests this morning. We're especially delighted that you've chosen to be here. It's good to see our sister Katie back there. You're probably not feeling well, but boy, it's great to see your face. And we have others here. Look, if I start that, we'll just never get done. So many faces. Glad to have with us today. I want to ask you a question. Anybody, raise your hand if you've ever seen this picture, this illustration. Raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of parents raising their hands. This one's been around a while, hasn't it? This is the illustration you find on the front cover of that well-known children's storybook, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. I had to practice that title a few times to make sure I didn't butcher it. Of course, Alexander is the boy here in the picture. And the story is basically this. From the moment he wakes up, everything goes wrong. Thing after thing after thing. Well, we're hearing it from his perspective. There may have been things that went well along the way, but in his mind, everything was going wrong, and he was ready to move to Australia. Remember? It's a popular story. But on a serious note, that's everyone's story, isn't it? All of us have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. In fact, it may not just be a single day, right? We may have stretches of terrible, horrible, no good, very bad. For instance, this should speak to some of you. The kids are at each other's throats. The bills are piling up. The house is dirty and completely out of control. The roof is leaking. The car is broken down, maybe also one of the major appliances in the house. And yes, the repair costs are far more than you plan for in your budget. Your job's not going well. You've been turned down for a raise. You've been up half the night with a sick kid. You have a headache. And your spouse today is not being a team player. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands about that one. Or how about this? Your homework assignment took four times as long as you thought it was going to, and you've had to say no to a social opportunity. You got a C on a test you studied hours for, and you thought sure you had aced it. That's a bummer, isn't it? Kids are mean to you. Going through a breakup. Your phone's glitching. You feel like the forgotten kid in your house. But maybe there are some other big things as well, like your friend has a terminal illness, or your parents had a really big fight, and you're wondering how much longer their marriage is going to remain intact. Or how about this? Your adult children are not getting along, and it's not pretty. Friends and fellow disciples you've known for years in the church have either passed away, or even worse, you received word that they've left the Lord after all these years. Your health is really declining. You live in constant pain. You struggle with depression. You see the strain on your spouse's face as they try to help you just get by every day. Your savings are dwindling. As they say, your golden years have been far from golden. You sit by helplessly. Your kids, your grandkids make foolish choices that carry devastating consequences. Here's the question I want to ask in all of that. When life happens, I've spoken to several different groups of people. I could have done more, but you see the point. Life happens to all of us. All of us have the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad. When that happens, question, do you find it easy? Be grateful. I'm going to tell you, there are times in my life when I find gratitude does not come easy. And yet we come into settings like this, and somebody like me, maybe wearing a suit jacket, maybe not, stands up here and will read a passage like this one. I don't know if you can see that text really well, but that's the passage I'm asking you to go to, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. And you'll hear the preacher read this passage where it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Are you like me? Find that instruction at times difficult to keep. I mean, because it's got that word everything in it, right? That's an important word. And it doesn't have to be long to be important. It could have said in all, short word, in all things, be thankful, give thanks. Are there times when you find that passage is easier to keep? Times when you find that passage is more difficult to keep? And for each of those, I would ask you, why do you find it easy or difficult? I think if we're honest, we would readily acknowledge what God has known all along, and hence the presence of this short statement in our Bibles. That gratitude does not always come easy, come naturally. And let me add to that, that's true not just in bad times. Sometimes our greatest struggles with gratitude, I would hope you would agree with me, come when everything in our lives is humming, when everything is going well, and you can forget about our culture encouraging the right kind of heart and mindset. Presence of the holiday on the calendar this week notwithstanding. So what does all of that suggest to us? It says that since gratitude doesn't come naturally, then how is it that we're going to keep this passage? Well, I would suggest to you it is going to come about as the result of deliberate choice. And not just a single deliberate decision in a single tough moment. I'm talking about a series of choices made every day that is reflective, ladies and gentlemen, of a diligent, regular effort to do what we're calling this morning, cultivating a spirit of gratitude. Obviously, it's timely that we talk about the subject of gratitude given where we're at on the calendar, but look, fact is, it's always an appropriate time to talk about this because of how we started the lesson. Because all of us, at all times, are facing, no rhyme or reason to it, the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad stuff. Or, ultimately, we're experiencing good times, but the battle for gratitude is on. And I just simply want to ask you to think along with me this morning about how it is that someone learns how to be grateful. Because the fact is, this is something we must learn. And if you've ever struggled with gratitude, I think that's probably all of us, then this lesson is for you. And I hope you'll listen to this very carefully and pay attention and think about what's said and assess, above all things, what is said in light of Scripture. And I pray that the lesson blesses you. Again, good to see you. I want to do a couple of different things in our lesson this morning. I want to begin by just kind of going broad, not terribly deep, and laying down some principles about gratitude that we find in our Bibles. And then in the latter part of our lesson, I want to try to put some meat on the bone and get a little bit more practical, okay? So let's begin with some basics about gratitude. And just begin by noting from our Bibles that gratitude is something that our Creator expects. In fact, we won't do it on the slide, but are you looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 still? Do you notice the latter part of that verse? In everything give thanks. What does it say next? For this is God's will for you. And look, there's a reason why it chose the words "our Creator" for this particular point. Because that speaks to God's purpose for us. And I want you to think about that. God created us all with purpose, with a vision for our lives. And part of that purpose, if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, part of that purpose is to reflect a certain kind of character. Ephesians 1 verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be, here it comes, holy and blameless before him. You see, from the very beginning, God envisioned something for his people. He envisioned a people who were blameless. And I want you to really especially key in on the word holy. God envisioned a people who reflected something of him, who reflected his character, who in their lives showed themselves to be distinct, to be godly, to be set apart, just as 1 Peter 1, he is holy. And one of the hallmarks of that distinctive, separated character is found in the next book of your Bibles. It's an equally distinctive spirit of gratitude. Gratitude is one of the hallmarks of holy living, of being part of God's special people. Notice in Philippians 2, in verse 12, Paul writes, "So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And then notice here's going to come a statement about God's purpose. "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So you see, God has a vision for your life and for mine. And God is at work in us to see that that purpose is accomplished. Isn't it interesting then that the very next verse, after talking big picture about God working in our lives to accomplish his purpose, what's verse 14 say? He's been talking about distinctive character. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." You know, it'd be interesting to just kind of unpack this question. Why do you think that the Holy Spirit went to that thought next? But he ties it with holiness, and he ties that thought with our distinctiveness in the world. And let me just offer, if there is any opportunity today, and there are many, for God's people to show ourselves distinct, it is in applying verse 14. Would you agree with me about that? "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." And here's a statement of holiness. "Among whom you appear as lights in the world." You see what God's wanting to do? He's wanting to show the world a better way. And he's wanting to do that through his people. This is something our Creator expects. So having a grateful spirit and giving thanks in everything, look, that is to be recommended. And yes, that is advisable. But listen, it is more than that. It is more than just something you type into a Better Living blog. It is expected by God. In fact, it's always been something that God has expected. It should impress us, for example, in the Old Testament, that included in all of God's instructions about worship under the law were instructions prescribing, in fact, the formal giving of thanks. Some of their offerings were called thank offerings or thanksgiving offerings. And then as part of the temple worship, if you look in 1 Chronicles 16 or 1 Chronicles 23, if you're taking notes, write those passages down and go read those. Because in those passages, you find that by the command of David, that certain of the Levites were assigned to lead specifically in the giving of thanks. Let that sink in. What does that suggest to us about how important a matter the God of heaven considers our gratitude? It's a centerpiece of worship. God expected the Israelites to be thankful. God expects Christians to be thankful. We'll consider some other verses later on. But really, the fact is, God expects every human being to be thankful. I'm thinking of Romans chapter 1. Remember in the latter half of that chapter, he's describing essentially the downward spiral of the pagan nation. Well, what precipitated that downward spiritual spiral? Well, part of it is found in verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. It says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God." And then comes a phrase that goes right with that. That goes right with the idea of honoring him as God. Because if we honor him as God, he's the source of blessings. What ought we to do? These people did not honor him as God or give thanks. I tell my kids, one thing that really upsets me is when I detect ingratitude in them. And I have to tell you, I believe that God feels exactly the same way in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 35, Luke 6 and verse 35, Jesus said, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind." And he describes the people he's kind to. The point Jesus is making is love your enemies. Notice the people that Jesus says God is kind toward. It's interesting the pairing of these two terms. He says he is kind to ungrateful and evil men. When you read that, you think, well, I think it would have just been enough if you would have just said kind to evil men, right? Wouldn't that have expressed the impartiality of God and the willingness to be kind to all? Isn't it interesting, though, that he specifically calls out ungrateful men and women? What does that suggest to us about how much the God of heaven has a distaste for ingratitude? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, notice the spirit described of the falling away that would come in the last days. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 2, he says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents," and then right after that, ungrateful. And interestingly, right after that, unholy. You see? So it doesn't matter who you are, what your circumstances are. You need to understand God expects you to manifest a grateful spirit. Now we could go on exploring why it is that God so desires that within us. We could go into Romans chapter 1 and back there and find that passage illustrates that gratitude certainly conditions the heart to look to God and to serve God. Gratitude is part and parcel of a proper honoring of God as God. So, to wrap this point up, whether or not I am grateful is a matter of no small importance. And so, if you and I are contemplating this morning, as our thoughts have been arrested to think about this, and we find, you know what, I'm not very grateful, understand that God expects us to repent of ingratitude. And therefore, and then subsequently, to cultivate a grateful spirit. And what we're talking about today, well, how do we do that? Let's put another thought on the slide. Gratitude, secondly, is a function of right thinking. Now, I want to try to unpack that a little bit more. Words are important. Is it important to say thank you? Certainly. It's something we teach our kids from a very young age. But understand, being thankful is about much more than saying the right words. Parents, you ever had to make your kids say thank you? Boy, that wasn't fun. And when it was over, it's like the boy that was made to sit in the chair. You ever heard this story? And he's looking at his parents with a look and then finally just utters, "Hey, guess what? I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside," right? Sometimes our kids are like, we make them say thank you. And they're doing that with their mouths, but you're just not detecting real gratitude. Any of you ever gone to the store? Surely you have. To a restaurant, to a store, and there's the exchange of money that's part of all of those transactions. And then at the end of that, the employee of whatever place you're at says, "Thank you, have a nice day." Does that just frost you when somebody treats your business in that way? It's as if they are completely oblivious to the fact that your patronage is helping to pay their salary. And you're like, "I'd like to get a little bit more gratitude there." So we understand this more than just the right words. It's about the right heart. Let me tag on to that by saying that being thankful is also about much more than a feeling. It's more than being happy or pleased about something. That's important on a certain level, but that itself is not gratitude. I can like a meal that has been cooked, but fail to say thank you to the one who cooked it. Fail to be grateful for it. Now, yes, one of the fruits of gratitude will be the verbal expression of that gratitude, because gratitude is about the right mindset. It's interesting, if you look at the history of the word thank, what you'll find in that etymology is that it's derived from the same root as our English word think. So will you think about that? Think and thank. Being thankful, forget which hand I had going here. Being thankful is about being thankful, if I can say it that way. It's about having the right kind of thought, the right kind of consideration, the right kind of mind in a given circumstance. Gratitude is about an attitude of heart that is developed within a person. I say that because if you struggle with gratitude, you need to explore the source. If you're ungrateful perpetually or continually, you need to go to the core of the problem. You need to look at your thinking. And then let me add a third thought here as we're kind of just setting the table for some practical thoughts. Let me also say further that a grateful spirit is a mark of spiritual maturity. And we find this principle illustrated over and over in the Bible. For instance, in the Old Testament, we would certainly consider the man Job to be a role model of spirituality and faith. And we remember his decision not to sin and not to blame God for the terrible suffering he experienced. Well, I would suggest that was a function of his ability to be thankful to God. Listen to this wording. Job chapter 1, if I can find it. Job 1 verse 21. He said, of course, this is when the loss is so raw at this point. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, there are times in our lives where that rolls off the tongue rather easily. I think Job thought about those words before he said them. There are times when you can't fake gratitude. Whether or not you're spiritually mature will reveal itself. And it revealed itself for Job in this moment, didn't it? We're going to be studying Daniel soon. We can consider him to be spiritually mature. And he likewise, it's no accident, when you look in Daniel 6, that's the chapter where there's the lion's den. Remember what got him in trouble? His prayer life. His enemies took advantage of that reality. They knew it was like clockwork. They knew Daniel would not leave off neglecting that prayer habit. And so in Daniel 6 and verse 10, what do we find? Daniel doing, when that decree was issued, the same thing he did every day. In fact, three times a day, praising and giving thanks to God. So let me think about that. Daniel spiritually mature. Daniel engaged in the regular, deliberate giving of thanks. That ought to say something to us. Then there's Joseph. We could look through the book of Genesis and notice his attitude. I believe he disciplined himself to be able to see the good that God could accomplish through his trials. And so ultimately, he was grateful. And certainly, we could develop a long list. We could add David's name to that. Welcome to the Psalms, right? Psalm 140. I will read one phrase from Psalm 140 in verse 13. Notice the expression here. Psalm 140 and verse 13. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. As if it's given that righteous people, that mature people, are going to be thankful people. Because gratitude goes together with spiritual maturity. And then you come to the New Testament, you find the same sort of relationship. Can we do some quick rapid fire here? Let's look at three consecutive books in the New Testament, starting with Ephesians 5 and verse 4. going to read this, very little comment, and we're going to go to the next book and read another passage. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. I would only observe there seems to be a contrast there. It's going to either be one of those in your life or the other. And if you eliminate gratitude, there's a void. And the passage tells us one of the things that will fill that void. Now let's go to the very next book. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Again, it's an either or. If we eliminate gratitude, there's a void. And what will fill it in this passage? Worry. In the next book, Colossians 2 verse 6. Here's a picture of spiritual maturity. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. And I love this picture. You draw it at some object. You know, it's almost like the Christians here described as a large vessel. And what's the vessel? What's the picture? Overflowing. Overflowing with gratitude. By the way, those three books, all written by the same guy. You remember where he was when he wrote? Would you consider Paul to be spiritually mature? He wrote all these statements from prison. That's exactly right. The ungrateful Christian will never mature. Let me say that again. The ungrateful Christian will never grow to mature. Because the pathway to spiritual growth, ladies and gentlemen, is paved by cultivating a grateful, God-centered attitude and spirit. The great Roman statesman Cicero once said this. Listen to this carefully. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others. And I did not fully vet that statement, but the more I think about it, the more I think he was exactly right. Gratitude gives birth to contentment. Gratitude helps make us humble. Gratitude stirs us to be generous. And gratitude will help us to develop a distinct influence in the world. Because most people are not grateful. Gratitude is the parent of all other virtues. I like that thought. Now we could just end our study right there. But I thought it would be helpful to us very briefly to spend just a couple of minutes here trying to get these ideas closer to home. So here are some practical thoughts to take with you as we consider the need to cultivate gratitude. First off, gratitude starts with God. And more to the point, it starts with remembering God. If we want to get on the path to gratitude, if we've been grumbling, we decide, I need to follow a better path. It starts with considering the character of God and all of His blessed attributes, His goodness, His holiness, His justice mingled with His love. How magnificent. That is the gospel. God's justice and love both fully satisfied. His mercy. You say that word, it just deserves more than just saying His mercy, doesn't it? His grace. His kindness. And yes, His sundry mighty works. I would recommend the reading of the Psalms because the Psalms teach these points about God as well as any part of our Bible. Grateful thinking is God-centered thinking. By contrast, the self-centered person will never be a grateful person. Secondly, count your blessings. Really, actually, count your blessings. I choose that wording, of course, because we have a song in our repertoire, in one of our books, where we say, count your blessings. And one of the things we kind of intimate in that song is that our blessings are really too numerous to count, and that is so. But that's not to say we shouldn't count them. I mean, even if we can't, and we can't, list them all in one sitting. There is great blessing to leading our blessings before our minds, one at a time. Because what will happen is we'll realize that while our lives may be terrible, horrible, no good, very bad, maybe in long treasures, even amidst that, in the middle of sufferings, there is tremendous grace to be found in a multitude of blessings from our Heavenly Father. I was taught that point just as an aside by reading a Facebook post of a preacher, Shane Scott. Just lost his wife to cancer. And he made that comment that all along that journey, what they found is tremendous grace from God. And I can't say it any better than that. Count your blessings. And let's be clear, every blessing that we have is a function of His grace. His grace. You know what that means, right? That means we received it, but we didn't deserve it. Now, yes, there are blessings that we may enjoy on a regular basis, but just because that is so, just because I may pay money to secure certain blessings, never means that we deserve them, because every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, James chapter 1 and verse 17. So it doesn't matter, kids, whether we're talking about the privilege of electronic devices, whether we're talking about your internet connection. I kind of get a little bit sore when I'm in the middle of something. But look, all the blessings we have come from God. May God help us. May God help us never to feel entitled about our blessings, because I can promise you that entitlement produces ingratitude. So, here's a challenge for you. Count them. In fact, I can give you a challenge about point one. Write down some things about God and thank Him for those things. Write down some blessings you've enjoyed this weekend. And if you want to add food and entertainment to that list, fine. But then go on beyond that. Thank God for another Christian here. Thank God for an unanswered prayer. Thank God for a trial that gave you a better perspective, because in that there is reason to be thankful. Maybe you learned something about yourself. I'll tell you what, parents, we ought to be grateful when our exchanges with our kids expose us, and that just happens frequently, doesn't it? Don't you think God's trying to bless us in that? Trying to help us grow? We could say the same thing about marriage. Maybe it's something from worship or your Bible class today. Thank Him for that. Maybe it's the health scare that you have, and maybe it caused you to straighten up. Maybe some of you do need to straighten up. You're having health problems. Take the cue. But be thankful. Be thankful if the health scare wasn't worse. If God gave you strength to endure a trial versus rescuing you from it, or gave you the ability to resist temptation, whatever it is, write it down and then take time to thank God for those blessings. Thirdly, gratitude really elevates worship. It just does. Earlier in the lesson, we noted that the giving of thanks was part of the prescribed temple worship in the Old Testament. You realize that as Israel and Judah fell away from God, I'll tell you, one of the things that was left off were all of those duties of the Levites. So it's interesting, as part of the restoration of the people, restoration of their lives, the restoration of worship, you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30, 2 Chronicles 31, Ezra chapter 3, and you know what's happening? They're restoring the Levites' duties to lead in the giving of thanks, because gratitude is part and parcel of great worship. You getting much out of worship lately? Great article in the bulletin this morning. Perhaps it's time to cultivate some gratitude in your heart. Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, those passages about singing, you'll find that both of them also speak about a thankful heart. Two more suggestions. This one's for me. If you can use this, great. I hope you do. Go on a complaint fast. And I'm not saying ignore the problems in your life. I'm saying that in every circumstance, it is God's will for me and you, and indeed a blessing to us, that we find in those trials reasons to be thankful. And sometimes it helps us, as we seek to be devoted to that, to choose for a time not to dwell so much on all the things around us that are not so great. And so there are times, I believe, when it's appropriate for us to just choose to fast, to abstain from complaining. So here's another challenge. Try to discipline yourself for one whole day this week. I'm going to ask you to do it. You've got to start small and build up to this, right? Pick a day. You pick the day. And whenever you're tempted to give voice to your grievances, you might just have to avoid the news, okay? Use that as your cue to turn around in your heart and to think of one reason to be grateful for that problem. Pray to God about it. Ask Him for grace to be grateful. And then finally, this deserves more than we're going to give it, but just look around. You want to become more grateful? Look around. I almost had you do it right now, but you get the point. Think of the endurance of others. Get involved in serving others. Because when we do, we become mindful that others often have greater burdens than we have. One of the things I believe that helped Paul in his trials was to dwell on the faith of others. I had Kelly read 1 Thessalonians 1 for that very reason. What do we find Paul expressing, as he did at the beginning of every letter? How thankful he was for these persecuted Christians, for their work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. And the fact that the gospel had sounded forth from them and they had become an example to all the believers, even in their sufferings. As Paul looked around, he himself became more thankful. Look, we don't have to look overseas. We have plenty of examples in this church. Look around if you're willing to do that. Well, perhaps the entire key to learning to be thankful is found in the first verse that we considered this morning, but I want to emphasize something in this text. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. I'm going to highlight those last three words in black. I don't know if you can see that. In Christ Jesus. It's by being in Christ, being a student of Christ, committed to learning of Him and becoming like Him, that we really learn the perspective that we need to be thankful. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8, Paul said to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Because of Jesus, there is always reason to be thankful.
Amen.
Because Jesus died for your sins, my friend, and Jesus is risen from the dead. One day, Jesus is coming back. If you're having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, and you're a Christian, you think about that. Because someday, all of the terrible, horrible, no good, it's all temporal. Heaven is forever. You want to be in heaven. So let me ask you, if you're ungrateful, you start with Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, you need to start with Jesus Christ. Learn of Him. Learn of Him and what God has planned for you. If we can help you get your life right with God, folks, I'm going to lead us in a song and invite you to come as we stand.